And welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman, and this is the program that focuses on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm so glad you're with us on this program today. We're going to be listening to music that come directly from Scripture, from the Book of Psalms. Let's continue with Psalm 1, and again, welcome to the Hour of Hope. It's going to be a great program.
Happy the man who delights in God's law, whose mind dwells there upon both night and day. He does not walk with the wicked, nor will he stand with the strayed. He takes no seat with the scoffer, mindful of God night and day. Happy the man who delights in God's law, whose mind dwells there upon both night and day. He's like a tree that is planted, rooted beside flowing streams, yielding its fruit in due season, seeing no withering leaves. Happy the man who delights in God's law, whose mind dwells there upon both night and day. Contrast the way of the wicked, driven like chaff by the gale. They shall not stand with the righteous, nor in the judgment prevail. Happy the man who delights in God's law, whose mind dwells there upon both night and day. Perish the way of the wicked, God knows the way of the just. The Lord shall cause him to prosper in everything that he does. Happy the man who delights in God's law, whose mind dwells there upon both night and day. Happy the man who delights in God's law, whose mind dwells there upon both.
Well, that was from Psalm 1, which talks about the blessed man or the happy man that focuses on the Word of God. And again, today we're doing music that focuses on directly from Scripture and specifically the Book of Psalms. Here's a verse, Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Colossians 3:16. And it's the idea of, he says, sing songs from Scripture. The Book of Psalms, the largest book in the Bible, and it's found almost directly in the Old Testament, almost right in the middle of most Bibles. When you open it, if you open it right to the middle, you'll generally find Psalms. And a little bit about the Book of Psalms, because you may not know this. It is spelled P-S-A-L-M-S. And the Book of Psalms has, I'm just going to give you some interesting information about the Book of Psalms. It has five different sections. So it has 150 chapters, or poems, or prayers. That's what a psalm is. We have, within those 150 chapters, keep wanting to say verses, there are five different sections. You have 1 through 41, 42 through 72, 73 through 89, 90 through 106, and 107 through 150. We'll talk more about the Book of Psalms, but it's a great place because most of them, almost all of them, are recorded prayers. So you see how to pray. You see people who wrote them in agony and praising and all kinds of things that are involved in prayer and praise. So let's go on with another one of those great psalm songs.
I've set my king in Zion upon my holy hill. I've set my king in Zion upon my holy hill. Why do the nations conspire? The people plot in vain. Kings and rulers take counsel against the Lord and His Christ. Let us break their bonds asunder and cast their cords away. Sits in the heavens, the Lord laughs them to scorn. Then He will speak in His fury and frighten them with His wrath. I have set my king in Zion upon my holy hill. I have set my king in Zion upon my holy hill. I have set my king in Zion upon my holy hill. Hear the Lord's decree of me. He said, stay, I've begotten. Now ask of me, and I'll give all the nations you'll inherit to rule with an iron rod. O kings, show wisdom and listen, you rulers all. Serve the Lord now with trembling, with reverence honor the Son. For His wrath may soon be kindled, the blessed take refuge in Him. I have set my King in Zion upon my holy hill. I have set my king in Zion upon my holy hill.
And that was Psalm 2, Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is a royal psalm, meaning it talks about the future king of Israel, which we know to be Jesus. There's a collection of psalms that are regarded as the royal psalms. Number 18, 20, 21, 45, 72, 89, 101, 110, 132, 144. If you look at the last verse, it says Psalm 2, verse 12, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from His way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. So it's the idea of trusting the Lord, and committing to His reign. Let's pray for one another that we can serve the Lord. Let's continue with the psalm song.
How many are my foes, O Lord? How many against me rise up? How many say about my soul, there is no help for him in God? But who, Lord, are a shield about me, my God?
their eyes you still hold me. I will not fear a thousand strong who range on every side against me. For you, Lord, are a shield about me, my glory who will lift my head up. I cry to the Lord aloud, who answers from his holy mountain. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. You strike my foes upon their mouth. You break their teeth, shatter all their lives. Lord of salvation, rescue me. For you, Lord, are a shield about me, my glory will lift my head up. I cry to the Lord aloud, who answers from his holy mountain. Yes, you, Lord, are a shield about me. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Relieve me in my distress. Be gracious and hear my prayers, God of my righteousness. God of my righteousness. O man, how long will my honor suffer from shame? How long will you love vain words and seek empty lies? But know the Lord sets apart the godly man for himself. The Lord will hear me when I call to him. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Relieve me in my distress. Be gracious and hear my prayers, God of my righteousness. God of my righteousness. In anger, do not sin, be still in your heart. In bed, be silent and offer right sacrifice. Your trust in the Lord, while they say, let us see good. O Lord, lift up your shining face on us. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Relieve me in my distress. Be gracious and hear my prayers, God of my righteousness, God of my righteousness. O Lord, you've given to me more joy in my heart than when their grain and their wine increase and abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you, Lord, alone. Enable me in safety to abide. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Relieve me in my distress. Be gracious and hear my prayers, God of my righteousness. God of my righteousness, God of my righteousness.
there was Psalm 3 and 4. And I want to mention something about Psalm 4. In our country, there are so many people that struggle with being able to sleep. They just struggle with it. And I want to highlight to you, if you're one of those people that struggles with sleeping, before you try anything else, read Psalm 4. Psalm 4, it's meditations of someone that is trying to go to sleep. And you just hear, let me read it to you again. You just heard it in a song. Hear me when I call, O my God, O God of my righteousness. At the end, he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. And so another point he says is, commune, be still. And I just want to say that sometimes one of the reasons we can't go to sleep, preaching to myself on this one, is we're too caught up in our thoughts and everything. Focus on what? The Lord. The Lord. On today's program, we're going to continue looking at spiritual working out. Are you spiritually healthy and what's involved in that? And I have a little Bible study we're going to do on, I think, one of the most important exercises, challenging for me, no doubt challenging for you, is disciplining our thinking. Disciplining our thinking. But let's listen to a couple more Psalm.
Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my groaning heart. Hearken unto the sound of my cry. My King and my God, to you will I pray. O Lord, hear me in the morning each day. I prepare my sacrifice and wait for you. You are not a God who loves wickedness. No evil with you abides. Boastful men won't stand before your gaze. Evildoers you despise. You destroy the ones who speak lies, violent and deceitful men. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my groaning heart. Hearken unto the sound of my cry. My King and my God, to you will I pray. O Lord, hear me in the morning each day. I prepare my sacrifice and wait for you. Through the greatness of your steadfast love, I will come into your house. Towards your holy temple I will face, and with reverence bow down. In your righteousness, Lord, lead me. Make your way before me straight. To my words, O Lord, give heed to my groaning heart. Hearken unto the sound of my cry. My King and my God, to you will I pray. O Lord, hear me in the morning each day. I prepare my sacrifice. Refuge, may all rejoice in you. Let them ever sing for joy. Lord, defend the ones who love your name, so they may exalt in you. You, O Lord, will bless the righteous with your favor as their shield. To my words, O Lord. heed to my groaning heart. Hearken unto the sound of my cry. My King and my God, to you will I pray. O Lord, hear me in the morning each day. I prepare my sacrifice and wait for you. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give ear to my words, O Lord.
And that was Psalm 5. Wasn't that great? He's just talking about, hear me, God, and we need to have confidence that God will hear us. God will hear us. I don't know if I'll do this again, but I know some of you maybe are curious about what do our church services sound like. We do Sunday and Wednesday nights of Bible study. A lot of times I'll share with you what I share with the church. On today's program, I'm going to just play a recording of our Bible study we did on Wednesday before I recorded this with the opening song to let you kind of know what to expect if you ever visit the church in Akitan. The sound is a little off in places, but I think you will enjoy hearing our Bible study. But first, we have a couple more songs that I know are enjoying your heart, and realize they're just singing scripture verbatim. They're not adding an extra thing. They're just singing scripture. I love the song, "Of Whom Shall I Fear? Because I'm going to Trust God," Psalm 91.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. The Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. My God, in Him will I trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by. Secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. My God, in Him will I trust. A thousand shall fall at Thy side, and 10,000 at Thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh Thee. Only with Thine eyes shall Thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High Thy habitation, there shall no evil befall Thee, neither shall any plague come nigh Thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over Thee, to keep Thee in all Thy ways. They shall bear Thee up in their hands, lest Thou dash Thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion. Shalt thou trample under feet, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my
As we move into the Bible study again, this is the Bible study from last Wednesday night. You'll notice it's just very free-flowing around the idea of spiritual exercise. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope if you're ever in Akitan or you're listening, you'll come on over and join us. We generally do Sunday nights at 7:30 and Wednesday nights at 7:30. When the plant is in season, we'll do 1 o'clock or sometimes even early in the morning around shift work. God bless you and enjoy this Bible study. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead and have a seat. Get this, a lot of typo notes out. We're so glad Natalie's back. So good to see her. So we've been, just a review, we've been talking about working out spiritually. I should give a quarter for every typo you found. There's so many. And just this is a way of reviewing. We're talking about there's five, like we work out physically, there's five things we can work on to help us get spiritually fit.
First of all, every Christian is either growing or not growing spiritually. That makes sense. You're either going towards God or not going, but you're not staying still. Make sure you're a Christian. Just a couple verses on that. Jesus said, answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So make sure you're saved. And then we talked about the first spiritual exercise every day, eating spiritually. 1 Peter 2:2-3, "Like newborn infants long for the unadulterated spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up to salvation, and if you've tasted that the Lord is kind." So the idea of this is our spiritual food. And number two, it's also our weapon. When you go into war, you want to be proficient in your weapon. Well, we're at war. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians, "And receive the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So the first discipline is time in the word. The second discipline is where I see my second typo, daily focused prayer. Again, I said, we're not talking about what a lot of people do. I'm praying on it. Yeah, I'm praying. No, this is a little different. This is having a set time. You're not just reading the Bible, but you're being intentionally focused on praying. Here's Jesus, "And he withdrew himself into a wilderness and prayed." One of the funny typos I made one time in college, not funny, but it is, I had accidentally typed that verse. Instead of prayed, I changed the R to an L, and it read, "And he withdrew himself into a wilderness and played." But no, he prayed, meaning he got alone and he prayed. John 17:1 I mentioned it last week, the prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, they call the Lord's Prayer. Well, really, the Lord's Prayer is John 17. I just wanted to show you kind of, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said," and you can read the whole prayer, but the idea of he's not just kind of work, he's very focused on God. We've all had people we're in a relationship with, and there's times, "I'm not listening to Diane." She's like, "You're not listening to me." Well, why? Because I'm distracted. We need to be intentional. There's nothing wrong with as we go along, we're praying, but this is a time we plan to get alone with God. And these were supposed to be an acronym, and I was supposed to have a T where that P is. I don't know what happened, but the A stands for adoration. You could use this as a grid. You're telling God how you adore him, how awesome he is. Confession. Here's what I did. You confess your sins to God. The T is thanksgiving. You're thankful for what he has done. The S is supplication. Lord, I need this. You're supplicating. You're praying for what you need and what others need, legitimate things for the world. Now, it's a choice. Remember that. This is actually Luke 10, not 19, chapter 10, verse 32 through 38. Now, I'm just going to review this real quick. "Now, it came to pass as they went that he went and entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home." Jesus goes to the village. Martha says, "Hey, this wasn't so unusual. Come to our house. You can stay there for a little bit." And she had a sister called Mary. You also see them later in John, because Lazarus, they have this story where they raise Lazarus from the dead, and Mary and Martha has an encounter with Jesus, "which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words." So Martha says, "Come on in." Mary just sits there and listens to Jesus. She's focused. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving," legitimate things, "and came to him and said, 'Lord, does thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" So Mary's sitting there listening to Jesus. Martha comes over to Jesus and says, "Hey, she needs to help me." And one of the things that happens when our priorities are off, when we're not spiritually connecting with God, we get demanding of God. And that's what you say here. It's not the attitude of a prayer. It's the attitude of, "Hey, Jesus, have her help me." And then Jesus says this very basic thing, but it's powerful. He says, Jesus answered, "Son, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." He doesn't say they're bad things again. It's like she's just legitimate things. He reminds her, "But one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." House is going to be dirty again, all things. But he says, Mary has chosen, it's a choice. What does she do? She just sat and listened to to Jesus. And it just reminds us again, these are things we have to choose. Now, the third discipline, first discipline, daily time in the Word. Second discipline, daily focused prayer. Third one is a little more challenging because you can measure, in other words, if Sean says, hey, are you reading the Bible? Did you read it? Yeah, that's pretty much. You can say, okay, my goal is 15 minutes. I'm reading here. That's very measurable. You can say, okay, I had 5 minutes. I was here and I prayed. I was focused. That's very like measurable. It doesn't say it's quality, but in a sense you can say, now this third one is a little more difficult, but I think, Marie, this one is really powerful. Every moment we live, we have a mental battle to win. That's how the scriptures will look at it. And I want to give you a couple of verses here to think about the idea of disciplining our thinking, how we process things coming at us. And this really is the battlefield every day. So this is very more of like a challenging skill, but it's something all of us can do. Now this is talking an interesting verse, and I think you'll see it's Proverbs 23:7 through I think it's 9. It says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats." For so he's giving some advice. In the other words, you go in a house, this person has an evil intent towards you. But he says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words." In other words, this person offers food, but he's got a really evil intent. But the main point I want you to home in on, "For he thinketh in his heart, so is he." In other words, it doesn't matter how they look on the outside, the true motive of the heart, the thoughts of the heart, where you really live. We all, unfortunately, one time or another, we smiled at someone we really didn't like, or we gossip about them. It's not good, that's sin, but the idea of it matters your heart. And this is where it gets difficult, because you know, you're dealing with a battle that's ongoing. You've been going great, and then something gets you off in your heart, a worry, stressor. So 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, but he that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ," meaning God has given us the ability through his Holy Spirit to think and process like the Lord does and did. So in other words, you don't have to settle with hating that person. You don't have to settle with being angry at that person. You don't have to just accept that I'm going to do it that way. No, you have the mind of Christ and your new identity. And then finally, Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." All the issues, problems, things, even though there may be actions, but really it's in your heart, my heart. That's where the battle. So this is a very important, and we're going to kind of look at maybe a way to think about getting some victory in that area. So maybe you go to bed at night, and we're going to finish up with a psalm to show you how to apply this, and you just got all these thoughts and all these things and things going on. Well, I want to give you some practical tools. I want to take some practical tools. How can I win in this area? What can I do to work out? So number one, we've looked at the two other disciplines. They all tie in the plan of victory. Number one thing I like, Natalie was in the military, I was in the military. America traditionally does not go in war expecting to lose. We plan to win. And that's not a military like, oh, America's foreign policy, whatever, but it's the idea that's what you need to have with this one. I'm not going to settle for just having bad thoughts, even though I will have them, but the idea of I'm going to work at this, because remember, what is it again that'll cause you defeat or victory? It's how you think and process about things. Jesus Christ, remember, there's so many verses like this where it says something like, he looked at him and loved him. Well, that's Jesus processing the right way, his perception. And so we see it in Jesus, and we need, number one, the plan to victory. But and this goes back to the first exercise, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Meditation is the idea of thinking deeply about something. You're thinking about something with your child. Nothing wrong with that. But the idea of one of the things we want to learn to think about deeply is this book. When we're reading it, we want to think about, well, I wonder why about the tabernacle and how it ties in with Christ. Or I want to think about that. That's why these exercises go together. And the idea here, one of the key components, if you're going to get victory in the thought life, you've got to learn to take what's in this book and apply it in your thinking. We talk about applying to your life, yes, but even bigger, and you're going to see, you cannot do this discipline if you don't actively use the Bible. It does. I mean, you may be actively using it, but not using it in this way. But I just want to say that so you think deeply on the Word of God. And number two is the second exercise we talked about. It's a prayer. Look at this prayer. Let the words of my mouth, so what I'm saying, and the meditation of my heart, those things I'm deeply thinking about, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. That's a prayer you could pray every day. But think about that. Now, let's look at so you've got a couple things there. One, you've got to develop your ability to deeply think about the Word of God. Number two, you don't want to just pray on it. You want to be intentional with your prayer. Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Not me or not somebody else, but you would give a check off on that. It's good. So let's look at this verse. It's so powerful. And then we're going to finish with an application psalm. 2 Corinthians 10, 2 through 6. So Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he gives this powerful picture of the battle of the mind. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with you, that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So what he's saying, I know that's a little confusing, but he's saying he's getting ready to go visit them, and he's like, I hope I don't have to be bold with you. In other words, I don't have to take you to the woodshed. That's an old saying. I hope I don't have to get in your face, but there's some who are telling you to think, you know, to walk after according to the flesh. In other words, be fleshly. How you think about it, like the world. So for example, give me an example. So if you're always hating that person, and you, like, I have every right to hate that person. That person's messed me over before. Probably 2 weeks we'll finish this whole series off with looking at forgiveness. But the idea of that is completely acceptable in the world's way of thinking about stuff. Or I got to get revenge. Or that is absolutely understandable. But what Paul is saying here, he said, if I go to the church in Corinth and I see some of that stuff, I see some of that division, I'm not going to play nice guy. I'm going to put it on the line with the Word of God. Because as Christians, he expects more. He expects more. We need to expect more of ourselves. And then he says, here's why. For though we walk in the flesh, and that's powerful in and of itself. So this, what he's going to tell you is not something he's designing for glory, where we won't have sin. It's not something where he's saying, you know, you need to go away and join a monastery. He's saying, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, where we're at right now, the work, the 12-hour work days, they worked hard back then too, all the impossible people I'm around, whatever. He's saying, that's where we live, but he says, here's the key. First, you have to decide you're not going to war after the flesh. It matters how you do warfare. For example, in Vietnam, what was our battle-ready uniform? What color was our battle-ready uniform? Does anybody know in Vietnam? Natalie, do you know what color our Vietnam era, what color was our uniforms? Green, yes. What color are they now mostly? Yeah, brown. Why? Because you don't want somebody dressed in green when you're going out to the desert. That doesn't work. You want to be desert color. In other words, and we had to change from how we did warfare in the village in Vietnam to how we do warfare in Iraq. And every terrain's different. He says, here's the thing. We don't war after the flesh. That is not our battleground. That's our old battleground. And for some of us, if we really analyze this daily mental battle, have I decided that I'm going to war the right way? Because if I decide I'm going to keep warring like I did when I was lost, like I was carnal, I'm never going to win. So it comes back to, what's the goal? The goal is to get to know God. The goal is to grow. We looked at those benefits. I'll show them again maybe next week. But here's the thing. We have to once and for all decide, and it's ongoing, am I going to fight the war the right way, God's way, or am I going to fight it my old way? Now he gives some interesting things about weapons. It matters what kind of weapons you use in a warfare. In Vietnam, tons, because I was in the Air Force, which is kind of like I just cooked in the hospital, but the idea of you're in a jungle. So the tools you're going to use for warfare are different than what you're going to use in, say, Iraq. It's just different. You go to a museum and you see the different weapons. It's not just modern development. Well, it was figuring out what the need is. And in the same way, here's your, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not fleshly. They're not how you can physically do them. He said, that's not our weapons. So you have to decide not just warfare, but are you going to use the right kind of weapons? Natalie, you were in the war again. I was in the Air Force, so I didn't do a lot of that. But, you know, it matters if you're going to win. It matters what kind of weapons you're going to use. The military is very intentional, generally, with what kind of weapons they use for what kind of situation. You're not going to drop the Moab bomb in the middle of a civilian area, generally, because there's certain rules and ways you do it. You just, it matters how you're going to do warfare and what kind of weapons you're going to use. He says, our weapons are not carnal. Well, then you're like, man, I hate that. I like to get revenge. I like to do all this stuff. But then he says, but mighty. In other words, your flesh is weak. My flesh can't win this war. I don't have, it's not my ability. He says, but let me tell you, mighty through God. He says, now, but wait a minute. Before you say, like, I want to be able to do it. No, he says, the weapons I've got for you, you pick the most lethal weapon, non-nuclear warhead, the Moab bomb at the time. I don't know if it's still that. Well, that's the mother of all bombs. I was saying for it. It's the largest non-nuclear arsenal I think our military possesses. Well, he says, you can put that aside because that's not as mighty as the weapons we have, which are mighty through God. And then he gives two enemies we have, and I want to break those down. First of all, you have strongholds. What is a stronghold? It's a big fortress that's strong. It's a place, a hold. It's a thing in your mind that's just, it's like impenetrable. I can't say that word. Impenetrable. You know the word. So it's like, it's so strong, so tough. That's what a stronghold is. Imaginations are things we make up in our mind. If you think about it, so much of our problems, our thinking, is around things that we just made up. They seem so real, so tangible. Well, that person's probably doing that. Or another one like, that person doesn't like me. How do you know? Because the way they looked at me. Well, you can't see their heart. The point is, we make up all these reality shows in our brain, and we can chuckle and laugh about it, but those are powerful. You know, we have something terrible happen to us, and then we're convinced God doesn't love us. And we're like, somebody can get close to us, and we've been so violated in our trust. We never let anybody get trust to us, especially God. And we try to, and we say, he doesn't love us. Well, that's an imagination, and it becomes a stronghold. And we can never go in a relationship with God because we have these imaginations and strongholds, real mental. These are not weak. He doesn't present them weak. They're very strong. He says the goal of these weapons are what? To pull down strongholds, to tear them down, to rip them down, and then casting down imaginations. Those stories we create in our brain seem so powerful, and they are because we give them power. But the point is, he's like, we're going to cast them down. And then he says the other thing, and we like to think of ourselves better than we are. He says, every high thing that exalted, now it's total warfare. In the ancient times, you want the high ground. You had them, they didn't build castles in the valley. They built them high up because then they can look out. And it's right. He says, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So he says, we're going to identify our enemies, strongholds, imaginations, and anything in our brain that we're putting above the knowledge of God. Like, God doesn't love me. Well, that's going against the knowledge of God. Like, I could never forgive that person. Well, the Bible says, forgive as Christ Jesus forgave you. And then he gives you, what do you do? And this gets back and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It comes back to our commitment to Christ. I'm going to take that thought that's not true, and I'm going to bring it in, but I'm going to attack it with the word of God to say, no, God does love me. And I'm going to attack that. I'm going to replace it. And then I love this because it reminds me of Rhodey. You'll see what I mean. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, you watch rodeo. It's called cutting. And what they do in cutting, they have a group of calves. and they'll mark them, 1, 2, 3, 4. They'll put paint or something on them so you know they're numbered. A guy rides in with a horse, and he gets a sign say, hey, cow, steer number 1, steer number 8. And his job is to get in there and wean those two cows out of the pen. But the problem is, as soon as he gets them, if somebody's not there, they keep running back. They keep running back, and you've got to keep working at it. That's like our thoughts. We can get rid of that one, but the longer we do this in this process, the less power, the less strength those strong, because eventually when you tear it down, you have the ability to see it weaken. So again, the battle is not, the battle is in the flesh, true, where we live. So again, catch that. That's important, because if I said you got to go away, that's not going to be where you live. No earthly weapons, must learn to fight spiritually. Everybody joins the military, whatever special, you learn new ways of fighting. Mental enemies, peoples, my strongholds, imagination, and high things. I didn't put that in there. And remember, both of these have power given by the person who has them. So, for example, maybe your stronghold is gambling. You just have this super stronghold. You've got to have, play, whatever. Well, that's not a stronghold I have. I have other strongholds. Everybody's strongholds is unique. No two strongholds are alike. It's not like a model at home that's built and they're all the same. No, everybody's stronghold's unique for them. You may have this story of that everybody hates you and you're just an unlovable person. That's imaginations. That's not true. God loves you and Christ died for you. So the strategy, you've got to identify those thoughts. You don't sit there and ignore them. You don't say, well, that's just not real. I'm an idiot, whatever. No. So you take that falsehood and then you replace it with what is true in the Word of God. And you start applying it to that. That is the process. And then obedience complete. You keep going at it. You don't stop. Romans 12, 1 and 2 ties in with that. And then I'll just give you the quick example. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're submitting to God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, I just thought of this psalm because a lot of times these mental battles are through the days, but then we can't sleep because we've got so much defeat in this area. Here's a psalm where David shows very different aspects of this. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. So he's a king. Maybe he's on the run. I don't remember exactly where this is. He's having a tough time. He says, you enlarged me. Have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer. So he's taking, the distress is a small part, but in the context of the distress, he doesn't see the distress. He sees God at work. Oh, you sons of man, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? That would be the high places. And then look at what he says. So let's, the high places is turn the glory into shame. How long are you going to love vanity? That's empty stuff and cease leasing. He says, but, so that's true. But he says, but no. So he says, here's the application, bringing it all into obedience. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. Stand in awe and sin not. So just being focused on God. Commune within your own heart upon your bed and be still. Why are you still? Because you're standing in awe of God. On your bed, you're thinking about who is God. So that requires turning off the phone, which I don't always do. That requires having something from the Word of God to think about, which comes back to the first exercise. We're almost done. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. Stand in awe and sin not. Okay, verse 5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness. So I'm getting right with what I'm offering to God. Put your trust in the Lord. There may be many that say, who will show us any good? So he's been attacked all day with God's not good. Hey, this is hopeless. There's no purpose here. There's many telling him that. Lord, so he turns it back to prayer. Lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Hey, God, they're telling us all it's pointless. God, give us your light again. Shine it upon how I carry myself. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more. So again, the place where they battle, he's replaced the distress, the fools, all the people doing wickedness with gladness, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. So maybe he's having a tough time and everybody's having a prosperous time. I will both lay me down in peace and safety, for thou, O Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. And you just see him. This is a great example of someone that has won the daily battle of their thinking in their exercising. So that'll be the third one. We've got two more.
And that'll conclude our program today. We're going to finish off with Psalm 27. You could go on YouTube and put in Psalm songs, and you'll get the various ones we listen to. It's been good to be with you. Don't forget to look to the hope we have in Jesus Christ, and we can pray, and we can call out, and we can have a wonderful relationship. Let's work at that every day on growing in that wonderful relationship. Bye.
Lost hope, unless I believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. For